Flames fans, welcome to Flames Unfiltered, special edition tonight as myself, Brad Brood, and Kyle Lewis talk about obscure favorite Flames players that we've had over the years. The guys that we liked, but probably really had no business having them be some of our favorites, but a little different topic, a little bit of fun Flames talk. Kyle, how are you today?
Just dandy yourself.
I didn't know if you were going to respond there. I thought you were like checking out on me there.
No, I've checked out on lots of things lately, but no, this isn't one of them.
Oh, well, you know, we've talked about this episode and about like guys that one of the first conversations I remember us having is about some guys that it's like, yeah, I really liked him, but not sure why, because he was never like a superstar or anything like that for the Flames, but guys that we liked, but probably weren't, I don't know, fan favorites or what, I guess how, maybe they were, I don't know. Maybe other people like the same guys we did, but some different guys.
It's kind of like cult classics when you're talking about movies and TV shows, right? Like there's some measure of success there, but you know, nothing like you said, not superstars. And real, I mean, let's be honest, the Flames haven't had a lot of superstars in their history. So this should be pretty interesting.
But like music too, we could relate it to that, because me and you always go back to music. That's one of the things that honestly, if it wasn't for music and like 80s rock, me and you probably wouldn't talk.
No, because probably not.
I remember seeing your Twitter handle and it said Flames fan and something about rock music, and you listed a couple of the same stuff, and I'm like, oh man. And so then I ended up messaging you, and one thing led to another, right? So there's always bands that I always thought, you know, were like, geez, nobody really likes this band, but I sure like this band. And that's kind of how what we're doing here with these players. You want to go first? I got like five of them that really stuck out in my mind. And I know you have some too. So let's kind of just go back and forth and talk about the guys that we think probably deserve a little more credit.
Yeah, the first one that comes to mind for me, and I've always had a soft spot for fast players in particular, but Dean McAmmond. So Dean McAmmond is the lesser known piece of the MCI line with Iginla and Conroy. And when Iginla scored his career high 52 goals and 96 points, and Conroy had 75 points that year, if I'm not mistaken. Now, McAmmond's really interesting because he was a really effective piece on that line, but he also is known for being traded away and traded back in the same season, but due to the CBA rules at the time, was not eligible to play when he was reacquired by the Flames. And that would have been in 2002, 2003 to finish the season. So that was a really, really weird rule. So he actually came back the following season with Calgary and had a pretty decent season, but didn't play in the playoffs due to injury. So he was on the roster for the 2004 Stanley Cup run, but was not playing, which a lot of people, I think, tend to forget.
I did not even know that.
And actually, I saw one of his game-worn jerseys on eBay not long ago, and it was, or maybe it was on Facebook. I can't remember. Anyway, very tempting to try and pick that one up, but I don't need any more. And in fact, I may end up selling a few because I just got too many. But he was a really, really underrated piece for Calgary and a very underrated NHL overall. So he's my first draft choice for, you know, favorite Flames that people didn't necessarily think a whole lot of.
That's an interesting one. I honestly didn't even remember him. I just punched him up now on, as we were talking, and he played 17 years in the National Hockey League, and
Played with Philly. He played with, I think, he's Colorado. He played for Ottawa, and Ottawa in the preseason is where he got absolutely leveled by Steve Downey with an absolutely brutal hit to the head.
Was that him?
Yeah. I run over behind the net. It was awful. He
played for 9 teams.
Yeah. Wow. That many, eh?
Oof. Philly, the Islanders, Colorado, New Jersey, St. Louis, Calgary for 2 years, Ottawa, Chicago, and Edmonton.
Now I remember Chicago and Edmonton. And Chicago, he was a pretty good piece too. But a really, like, guys like him, and we talk about them quite often on this show and in hockey in general, like when they can play from your third line to your first line to pinch, they are good penalty killers, good skaters. They're invaluable. And yeah, I don't think I'm alone in thinking very highly of him. So that's my first. Who you got?
You know, I'm going to throw my first, and it's probably one that you're probably going to chuckle. And there's a couple of reasons why I like this guy. Number one, the first experience I had watching him live irritated the hell out of me. I was going up to Winnipeg, and I believe it was in like 90, 596. What year did Winnipeg leave?
No, 96.
96. So it would have been, yeah, the 95-96 season. Okay, so I'm going up to Winnipeg to watch the Flames play, and I'm excited to watch Trevor Kidd. But guess who? I didn't get to watch Trevor Kidd. I got to watch Rick Tabarachi.
Oh, and nice.
He kind of turned into one of my little obscure Flames favorites. And I remember watching him that game, and he ended up giving up a hat trick to Keith Tkachuk in the third period to lose at the last second, which irritated me. But it was fun to watch that game. And he was going up against Nikolai Hobby-Bulin, who I still think is a top 10 all-time goalie in this league. I know I could get a ton of arguments and be proven wrong on that, but I always thought he was such a good goalie. But watching Rick Tabarachi as a Flame, he was kind of a wild he didn't really have he was really non-typical goalie, kind of a flopper, wild saves, doing all kinds of wild stuff, but really like watching him. And then ironically, like 20 years later after his career, I'm at a flooring show because Kyle and I have talked about our professions outside of doing this. And I work in flooring and Kyle works in building trades. And I'm at a flooring, national flooring show, and I have a meeting to meet with a client. And they told me I had a new rep, and the new rep walks over and introduces himself as Rick Tabarachi. I laughed and said, "There can only be one Rick Tabarachi." And he smiles at me and he says, "Do you like hockey?" And I'm like, "I know who you are." And talking more about hockey than we did what we were intending to meet about. But interesting story there.
Yeah, we actually, a bunch of us on X a few years ago, like crowdfunded a Rick Tabarachi jersey for John Easthope. And we sent it to him because he was such a Tabarachi fan. And that was kind of a really cool thing. And it really speaks to why we're doing the show, because there's a lot of people that, you know, think really highly of players that didn't necessarily have a huge impact. And I actually remember your Rick Tabarachi story. So do you still have any contact with him?
I don't. He does not. He no longer works for that company. And I really honestly don't know where he went, because his wife actually worked for the company too. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. It wasn't one of my main companies that I dealt with. Let's put it that way. But
yeah,
irregardless, it was a contact, and it was an unplanned contact, but ended up being a kind of funny story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. And actually, since we're on the topic of goaltenders, I'll go with my next one, because we could talk about this forever and ever, and we're going to try to keep this reasonably brief. Yes. I'm going to go with Roman Turek, and there's a few reasons. And again, I've always got reasons for this. The biggest reason I was such a big Roman Turek fan was that same 01-02 season that I talked about. And keep in mind, the way the Flames started that season, I think they were 14-3-3. Started the season with back-to-back shutouts. He was a shiny new toy acquired from St. Louis after a bit of a face plant in the playoffs the previous spring. Rattled off two straight shutouts, and the team, I remember being in high school, and the team was all of a sudden like really, really good. And it didn't last. They later fell apart. There was a Greg Gilbert thing and Mark Savard being dealt and blah, blah, blah. But Turek was the first time like, oh my God, my team's actually going to be good. And a couple years later, as many Flames fans will hopefully remember, and if not, I'm happy to remind you, Roman Turek actually restructured his contract and took a pay cut to remain with the Flames, which is such a rarity and really speaks to just how much he wanted to be a part of a winning team. And he was a great backup to Mikki Kiprusoff in that one season too. He really was.
I don't even know if you can do that with a contract anymore. Can you? I don't believe you can.
I'm not sure. I mean, it would have to be a mutual agreement of some kind, which would likely, you know, lead to a mutual termination of some kind. But, yeah. He was a big, big dude, huge Iron Maiden fan. Of course, had Eddie on his helmet, which I also thought was cool.
Yeah,
but for a very brief period in his career, he made the Flames relevant until the wheels started to fall off. The team just wasn't that good. But that start of that season, I remember they beat Chicago one of the first two games, and I want to say Edmonton, but Chicago for sure. And I was like, wow, what is happening?
Do you remember those McFarlane figures that they used to have?
Yep.
They may still make them. You don't see them anymore. I have a Roman Turek one. I remember getting
the Blasty one or the white jersey one.
Well, I had the white jersey one.
Nice. Yeah, because it was two of him, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
Pretty cool. So who else you got?
I got Eric.
We should say we're doing five each, by the way. So go ahead.
Yeah. So we're not going to keep you here all day. So Eric Nystrom, I got a guy that I think this organization had much higher hopes for, myself included. His highest point year was in 09-10. He had only 19 points, but it always seemed like to me that Eric Nystrom was a hard worker. Always working hard, always seemed to have the right attitude, and played on some teams that were really in a really down time for the Flames. And it was back when we were drafting a lot of prospects in hopes of turning the fate of this team around. And he was just one that just didn't seem to click, but I always really liked him playing. I remember getting an autographed stick from him, and just a really good guy. And kind of one of those obscure guys that I always cheered for.
Yep. And he was it 03 he was drafted?
Believe so.
So I actually, and I think you may have known this one point, I had a really banged up red Nystrom game worn jersey. And it turned, and I did. I eventually sold it to a guy in Florida. I don't know where it is now, and I wouldn't mind reacquiring it. Because I later found out he actually wore that in the first Flames game I ever attended against Columbus in February of 2009.
Really?
It's the exact same jersey, like a one of one that he wore that night, and it had some awesome repairs, which, as we've talked about, makes game worn, you know, even more valuable because they're stitched up and they have all these different markings. Yeah. But that was a beautiful jersey. I could find the guy I sold it to, but he might have sold it since. I don't know, but it was a nice one.
He was actually an 0-2 pick by Calgary, a 10th overall. The 10th overall pick, though. So we had, remember, there was just a lot of talk and a lot of high hopes for him. And obviously he didn't meet those high hopes, but all in all, I thought was a good piece of the organization.
And isn't that interesting, too, because he didn't debut until, I want to say, 06, 07, perhaps?
05, 06, he had two games, but didn't really step in as a normal Flame until, really, honestly, in the 07, 08, he had 44 games. 08, 09, he played 76, and then the following year, 82.
How often now do you see a guy that's a first-round pick take 4 years to make his NHL debut? Three or four years?
We don't wait that. We don't have patience anymore at all. We want instant gratification now.
Oh, that's a nice Booze and Tuna reference. Well done.
Didn't even think of that. As a matter of fact, we'll use them on the intro out to the show, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Happy little accident right there. Yeah. What's another? And I'm doing this off the cuff. I thought a little bit about it, but I really wanted to, like, you know, just try to trigger some memories.
Kind of how we do this show.
Dave Lowry. I love Dave Lowry. I've met him. Wonderful guy. Hilarious guy, in fact. Very self-deprecating. I told him that I had one of his game-worn jerseys, and he said, well, sure as hell isn't hanging from the rafters. And I started laughing. I said, well, I wasn't the only bidder. He said, yeah, the other one was probably my mother. And actually, Dave Lowry billeted with a buddy of mine's parents years and years ago, which is pretty cool. But there was, and I tried to find this, and I might have to reach out to somebody at the CBC to see if they can find this clip. But when he signed in Calgary, when he left San Jose after the 99-2000 season, they did a really cool feature on what it meant for Lowry to come to Calgary. He became the captain. He brought his family with him, which of course included Jets captain now, Adam Lowry. It was just a really wholesome feature about, like, what a good guy he was. He had that 96 cup run with Florida. He's part of the 04 run of the Flames. Like, he was a very valuable piece. And I remember when him and Doug Gilmore collided in the 04 season, and they're both injured for a while, and Lowry got into a few games. I want to say maybe 10 games or so in that playoff run, but he left it all on the ice all the time. I'm still pissed about the way Greg Kilbert stripped him of his captaincy, because I thought he was a good captain. But he was such a character guy, such a character guy. And actually, I saw one of his captain's game-worn jerseys not long ago, and it went for, I don't know, like $5,000 or $6,000 or something. And it was just, too much money.
Yeah, you can tell a lot about his character too by watching his son now, Adam, who mm-hmm. was a captain of the Winnipeg Jets. You know, that stuff, how do you say that? That's bred in the family by their work ethic and their attitude and their leadership qualities. And he definitely passed that down to his son, and and makes Adam Lowry one of the key guys that if you said, Brad, I want you to go build an NHL team tomorrow, Adam Lowry would be near the top of my list of guys I would add to my roster.
Oh, look at the goal he scored in game 7, you know, again, that series against the Blues this year. Now, the other thing, too, that's worth mentioning here is that, like I say, Lowry is just so highly thought of as, you know, as a character guy, but he's coached in Calgary with the Hitmen, the Flames. He's coached with the Jets. He's coached with Seattle. He's carved out a pretty nice coaching career for himself, too. He's a sought-after guy, so good for him.
Definitely. The next guy on my list played 3 seasons with the Calgary Flames. I did get to meet him one time on another Winnipeg trip. That's Steve Chiasson. And the reason I have him on the list is I love the style that he played defensively. Mm-hmm. He was one of those guys that you could always, you never swore at the TV. You know, he was safe, right? He made smart plays, safe plays. Wasn't, you know, the big point getter. I believe his highest point total in Calgary was like 30 something. He just went out there and was a stable defenseman who made smart plays.
Yep, absolutely. And he was part of the Mike Vernon trade, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, that's right. Big piece coming back. That's a very significant trade in Flames history. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And sadly, his life was cut short.
That's right. Yep.
But another player that was kind of flew under the radar of favorite Flames, but was one of mine.
Yeah, absolutely, and with good reason. Really, really good character player and a good guy. And I remember when that news broke that he passed, and it's so sad. You think about like that, like, you know, his passing, Brad McKinnon, McKinnon obviously, Steve Monador, and then, you know, so many others around the league, Sergei Bears and Roman Chechmanek, Ray Emery, like the Wade Bielak, Derek Bugard. I mean, it's really amazing how quickly the years go and you know, you think about all those memories you have with some of these guys, and it's so sad to think that a lot of them are no longer with us. So another, and I went back and forth on defensemen a bit too on a few different guys that I liked. And one of them that I landed on because he was a really pivotal part of when the Flames finally became good when he chose to sign here during the lockout, was Roman Hamrlik. So Hamrlik had a hell of a shot, and he was chiefly responsible for bringing along Dion Phaneuf as a rookie, as his D partner. And Hamrlik had been a very sought after defenseman for a number of years, had a lot of success in Tampa Bay, for example. He was with the Islanders, had an absolute rocket of a shot and was a very steady presence, I felt. And was just, I remember like him, Tony Amonte, Darren McCarty, who I'll be playing hockey with in a few weeks. Like those guys, they really signaled a change with the new CBA and the lockout ending. It's like, okay, all of a sudden the Flames, the Oilers, these teams can get good players. And Hamrlik was one of those pieces, and he came along at the perfect time. We really needed a guy like that. He was only here for 2 seasons, but they were 2 really effective seasons. And he kind of started a trend of like, went from Hamrlik to Adrian O'Coin.
Yes.
And we had these guys, and O'Coin, I'm going to give honorable mention here too, just because these guys, like, they were really, really important, and they were a big part of Flames teams that really underachieved in the late 2000s, the mid to late 2000s. But Hamrlik was a personal favorite of mine.
After Hamrlik, you said, we went on to O'Coin, and who else did we went on to another big defenseman there that I believe we lost to Vegas. Why am I drawing a blank?
We lost to Vegas. That would have been Derek Engelund.
There you go. That's what I was
thinking about. Derek Engelund, and we had
They all kind of fit that mold, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, and it was a weird time, too, because like Rhett Warner started to have some injury troubles, and he kind of faded into obscurity by 2009. Corey Sarich was a big piece. You know, there was a real run of actually, I have one of Sarich's game worn jerseys. There was a run of defensemen. Yeah, and they were complimentary pieces to the Robin Regiers, the Dion Phaneufs, the Jay Bouwmeesters of the world. Jim Vandermeer, you know, was a big part of that series against San Jose in 2009.
Is that the series? Yeah, okay. And yeah, in 09.
That's when Ronick scored. We lost in game 7. That was a tough series. That's the one where Sarich destroyed Marlowe. That was fun. That was real fun.
What year was it, though? Was it like 98 when we were up 3 games to none on San Jose and ended up losing 3 or 4 straight in overtime to lose the series? Ugh.
Yeah, it's rough, man. Those were some. Well, that would have been, well, yeah, it would have been, they didn't make the playoffs in 98. I think 96 against Chicago was the last appearance prior to 04, because I remember there was that 8-year gap, but it might have been 95, I think, that happened. Might have been
95.
Yeah. It was, anyway, there's, we don't want to get into playoff failures. That's a whole other special episode.
It is going to be another episode we are going to do, possibly this summer.
Yeah.
My next guy is a guy that, when I think of Calgary Flames who were like pure snipers, I put him in this list. You might argue with me a little bit on this one, but I was Christian Husalius. I loved watching Christian Husalius play.
Yeah.
He was just so skilled offensively. Wasn't the most physical presence out there, but his 06-07 year when he had 34 goals, 77 points.
Yep.
Unreal. What a year.
Well, and he was acquired for Steve Matador from Florida. And one of the rare times where I think Daryl Sutter really clearly recognized his team seriously lacked skill, and Husalius brought that in spades. He was one of the most skilled Flames players to ever play. And there's, and he had a big season in Columbus after that, too, I remember, actually.
He did. He had a 63-point season in Columbus, too.
Yeah.
You know, my very first time I ever went to the Saddle Dome, I bought a Christian Husalius jersey.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yep. Number 20.
Yeah, that was what I bought.
Yeah. He had later had some legal trouble, I remember. And he suffered some really, really serious burns too. Yeah.
Yeah. I see him on X once in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he liked a few of my tweets at one point a few years ago, I remember, actually. That's, I kind of forgot about that.
An interesting player though, but you're right. Super, super skilled offensively. And I just, when he got the puck in the slot, it was like, oh, he's going to bury this for sure.
He had like the real puck on a string thing going for him. Like when he had the puck, like he could play keep away with it really, really effectively. And yeah, no, he was a very, very effective Flames player for sure.
All right. I got the final one.
Yeah. This is tough because I've gone back and forth on so many, and like the names run through your head, and, not an obscure player by any stretch, but a very obscure Flame, and it drives me nuts that so many people don't even realize he played in Calgary's Mark Savard.
Why did I know you were going to go with
that?
Last year's power play deficiencies, Savard card.
Yeah, he wore number 27 in Calgary, was traded for Ruslan Zanelin, who never played in Calgary, but he had a 65-point season with the Flames, I remember. And it was like he had that spat with Greg Gilbert that I alluded to earlier, and he got traded. And I will forever contend that is one of the top three worst Flames trades of all time. Because even if we talk about the Gilmore trade, at least with Gilmore, they got stuff. They got things. They got people. They got absolutely nothing from Mark Savard. And I'm pretty sure if you go on the Flames website, Zanelin is still technically Flames property 25 years later.
Nice segue, Kyle. We are doing this episode here in the coming weeks also. Significant trades in Flames history.
Yeah. And I mean, he meshed well with the Ginlaw. He was super skilled. He went on to have monster seasons in Atlanta and Boston before obviously his career was cut short by injury. So sadly, he was acquired from the New York Rangers and was an absolute gem. I think one of the pieces that went back to New York was Jan Halavić, who played with Peter Nedved and Radek Dvorak on that infamous check line in the early 2000s. So man, my brain is swimming. All right, hit me. What do you got for your last one?
Last one is the speedster that had really, honestly, one good year. And it was the year that he goes on the 04 Cup run, and that's Sean Donovan. He had 18 goals, 24 assists, 42 points that year. But man, I like watching this guy play.
Yeah. I did too. Fast. Huge part of the 04 Cup run.
You know, when I sit and I look at that roster, I was thinking about this actually earlier today, about that 04 roster and how I was thinking about the current day roster, and I was thinking about, well, he can't play on a championship team. You know, I was just looking at our current players, and I'm like picking out guys, and I'm like, he can't play on a championship team. And then I sit and I think about the 04 roster, and I look at guys like we talked about earlier in this episode, Lowry, what an impact he was on that in a smaller, lesser role. You know, you had guys like Chuck Kobusu in a lesser role, a guy like Sean Donovan in a lesser role. I mean, let's be serious. Sean Donovan was minus 90 in his career. This guy is still one of my favorites because of what he did for a playoff run.
Yeah.
That's it. This guy played for seven teams in his career, but watching his speed and watching what he brought to the team, an aspect of what it took to get this team, you know, of a bunch of guys that were not a lot of stars.
No, very, very, very few. Him, Ville Niemenen, Chris Clark, Oleg Soprinkin. Now, here's a fun one for me, and don't give me any because I got to think about this. But I want, you said seven teams that Donovan played for?
Yeah.
Okay, so Calgary, Atlanta,
yep.
Ottawa. This is where it gets tough. Let me think now. Well, this is where it gets really tough. Wow.
Yeah.
I started hot, man. I cooled off quick. I thought I was hot and ready for that one.
I love it. I do this all the time too. I think I know.
Did you play for Boston?
He did play 1 year in Boston. Yes. So you're okay. You have four of them so far.
All right. Somewhere for 50%.
All the ones that you're missing are pre-Calgary ones.
Oh, really? Was Atlanta after Calgary?
Atlanta was before Calgary.
Okay.
He's got three other ones before Calgary. Calgary was his fifth team.
Did he play for San Jose?
He did. He started.
Oh, man.
That's where he
got it. Oh. I'm 5 for 7. Oh. Yes.
And then he went from San Jose to where?
So somewhere between San Jose and Atlanta.
Yes.
Oh, shit. I don't know, man. It wasn't. No,
Colorado.
He went to Colorado. Really? I didn't know that, actually.
Yep. And then he went to Atlanta for two. No, excuse me. Three in Atlanta. And then he went somewhere for 2 years right before Calgary. Eastern Conference team. I never knew this.
Philly?
Pittsburgh. Didn't know that.
Oh, really? Wow. Oh, you know what? No, that does sound familiar. Yeah. Wow. And I was waiting for you to bring him because I know how much you're a fan of his, and I'm still looking for a game worn jersey of his for you.
I know I would like that. I really would. I really liked watching him play. You know what's funny though? Like, the guy did not score very much, but I went up to Calgary in 05.
42 points on 18 goals. In 03-04, am I right?
Yeah. Yep. How do you know that? That's scary. But in 05-06, I went up to Calgary to watch them play two games, one against Colorado, one against Detroit. In the Colorado game, they beat him 6-2, and Sean Donovan had two goals. He only had nine all year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you went to the right game then if you're a Sean Donovan fan. Wow. Huh. Well, you know what? We'll have to do an episode about, like, Flames, and I think we talked about this actually, doing, you know, Flames that drove us nuts, that were more obscure, you know? Right away, I've got, like, 15, so that could be a three-hour episode, but anyway.
I better make a note here that's what we got to do next.
Oh, man, I hope none of those guys are listeners. I can't imagine, but you never know.
You know what? They probably would want to join the show. I mean, once your career is done, and, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they're professional athletes. We'd give anything to be in their shoes, but, like, that's just,
you know,
what it was for that time in Calgary, right? I know that not every player's experience at every or within every organization and throughout their career is positive.
We gotta get Brandon Evans on the show.
Okay.
The missing piece of the 04 Cup run. He played all of 5 minutes in the playoffs or something.
He did? I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was like an emergency recall when Gauthier, Monitor, Commodore, and everybody was hurt, and he played in the series against Detroit. Oh. Anyway, that's a discussion for another day.
Holy cow. It is. All right. Well, thank you for joining Kyle and I on this this special edition episode. We're going to be doing this throughout the summer so that we can get out shows every single week, and plus, a whole bunch of fun to do these because it is different than the daily routine that we usually do on the show, and it's always fun talking about Flames history. As we leave today, we mentioned them earlier in the show. Kyle did. Booze and Tuna, a good band. Check them out, Apple and Spotify. Flames fans, we're back again next week talking Flames hockey. Have a good week.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berube and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.